Final hour on this Monday, next man up, 102.5. The game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, alongside you on this Monday, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate everybody's interaction today. It is a reaction Monday, and we'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I had a big picture NFL thought after watching some of the games yesterday, and it's shocking to me the difference between the haves and have-nots in this league. The NFL, one of the big appeals of the NFL versus college football is that it is so much more competitive, and the parity, any team can beat any other team on any given Sunday. And while that still may be true, we still see upsets. The split is much wider than I feel like it usually is. And maybe this is just a small sample size that I'm using, but yesterday there was one game that was decided by one possession. That's it. Every other game was at least two possessions, and you saw lots of just straight up blowouts in week 8. Last week, there were only six games decided by one score. The week before, there was only five, maybe six. So it's kind of jarring to see the difference between the good teams and the bad teams is widening. And maybe it's just this year, but to see games like yesterday, where a lot of these teams just didn't have any chance. The Titans are a good example of that. That game was 38-7. Titans get a garbage time touchdown at the end to make it 24. Tampa Bay blows out New Orleans by 20. Buffalo beat Carolina 40-9. Cleveland, Myles Garrett gets five sacks yesterday, five of them, and they lost by 19 points. That is ridiculous.
I
And
thought
I
there was a
just,
typo in the box score yesterday when I saw that.
right. Five sacks. I did see, and I always blank on who actually put this out there, but somebody tweeted that Myles Garrett against Mike Vrabel coach teams now has 8.5 sacks in his last two games, dating back to that 2023 game where the Titans were just having a tight end follow him around the field to make sure that he didn't get a one-on-one against the tackles. It's crazy. Myles Garrett is the definition of the Maserati sitting in the Shaq meme. That is what he is on the Browns right now. And it's just a wide split. These good teams, it almost feels like they're playing in different leagues. Feels like the Titans are playing a different sport at sometimes, but the Titans have just not been close in any game. They have by far the largest point differential split in the league. 120 points. They're being outscored by 120 points in 8 games. So 15 points a game. That's horrible. They're getting outscored by 15 points a game. Indianapolis is on the other end of the spectrum. They are outscoring opponents by 116, but they have played the Titans twice. But you're seeing a lot of these really lopsided point differentials across the league. Like Vegas is being outscored by 77. Cincinnati's got 3 wins. They're being outscored by 79. The Browns, 58. The Jets, 53. All of these are over a touchdown worth of points per game that these teams are being outscored by. We're just not getting good competitive football. Yesterday, if it wasn't for the Jets coming back to beat the Browns, that witching hour of NFL red zone would have just been completely dead. There was absolutely nothing going on except for the Jets making that comeback to get their first win of the season. I don't know if this is something that's going to continue throughout the year, but even the bad Titans teams that we've watched, and there's been plenty of them, the last 2 years would certainly count as bad Titans teams. There were plenty of games where they would be competitive and just not be able to find a way to win. Now they'd get blown out. The Lions blew them out last year. The Commanders blew them out last year. But a lot of the games that you see bad NFL teams lose, it's just about not being able to make the necessary plays down the stretch. That's not been the case, especially for the Titans this year. The Titans, if it wasn't for everything possible bouncing their way against the Cardinals, they probably would only have one of their losses be by one score. Does that sound right, Parker?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Because and it by one score is kind of a stretch because they lost by 8 to the Broncos. So outside of the Cardinals game, they have not had a single game decided by a touchdown or less, which is insane. But that's how bad this team has been. And the gap between them and the good teams is widening, not shrinking. I mean, you lost to the Raiders by 10, who I just mentioned have the second worst point differential in the league. Patriots thumped you by 18. You lose by 20 plus to the Colts both times. The Chargers got a bounce back win on Thursday night. They won 37 to 10 over the Vikings. Sunday's going to be ugly again. It might be another 25 plus point loss. Have you seen what the spread is for that?
No, I haven't. I can check though.
Let me
It's gonna be
see.
bad. It might be around the same
I
of what
don't,
the Colts was,
I would guess
maybe a little less since
it's
it's at
nine and a
home.
half.
Yeah.
Yeah. So honestly, when you take home field advantage into account, it's probably about the same difference of what you'd expect the spread to be. Something I hadn't thought of until just now is, you know how we always talk about how the Titans get their stadium taken over by other teams and it still looks full, but it's other teams' fans who are in there. On Sunday, the Chargers don't have many fans. So that stadium, that may be the emptiest that stadium ever gets for a Titans game. Is that fair to say?
Well, considering that the Chargers don't have much of a fan base, and if they still take over Nissan Stadium, that is going to be the lowest of the low, I would say.
The Chargers are widely known as the smallest fan base in the league.
Right.
And I just, do I expect Titans fans to show up? I don't. With the product that they're seeing, the temperatures are going to be in the 50s.
They
Like, it's going
barely
to be a
showed
little
up for
chilly.
Mike Vrabel's return, so.
Right. I mean, it was mostly Patriots fans in there. And the Chargers, that's not a fan base that travels well. That is not a fan base that is very big. That might be the smallest crowd that the Titans see for a long time. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I couldn't tell you what the lowest attendance in Nissan Stadium history is, or LP Field, or Adelphia Coliseum, but I would guess this Sunday is going to be up there. There's just not a whole lot of reason for Titans fans to get out there, and the opposing team isn't going to be taking over Nashville like they typically do. Adam in Portland on the text line asks, any chance the Titans call Howie Roseman and offer Jeffrey Simmons for AJ Brown? Seems like everybody wins with that. I did see, I got ESPN on here in the hotel room, and I did see that the report is that AJ Brown will not be traded. And I have to imagine if he's going to go anywhere, it's not going to be back to the Titans. But in terms of filling a need for both teams, yeah, I mean, I could see it. It's not going to happen, but that would be decent value, I think, for the Eagles. You'd get a player who can help them right away, and the Titans could get a go-to target for Cam Ward. On paper, sure, it makes sense, but it's never going to happen. The trade deadline is now just a week away, and I don't know how much of a fire sale it's going to be, but I think I'd set the expectation at 2 to 3 trades for the Titans. Parker, does that sound about right?
Yeah, and I talked to Terry McCormick on Friday about the Jarvis Brownlee trade because with Legarius Sneed getting put back on IR for the second time in 2 seasons, that Jarvis Brownlee trade looks a lot worse. So looks like you may have traded the wrong guy, but I totally expect a lot of these players to go. Tony Pollard
Yeah.
being included. Now, I haven't heard that from anybody. It's just a gut feeling.
Yeah, Pollard is one of the wild cards. I think Arden Key, he did miss Sunday's game again, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe that's just protecting the asset until they find a trade for him. I think Arden Key is the most likely to be gone. I'd put him around 90%. Other trades, I wouldn't put any of them above like 50%, but there's definitely a few in that 40 to 50 range. Chigakonkwo, Roger McCreary. I think Tony Pollard's a good name. Draymond Jones has sacked in what, 3 straight games now? So who knows? Maybe they just unload everybody. But yeah, I think the next week could be busy. In fact, we could see a trade as early as today, as teams start to make moves to try and build up for the playoff run. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your text and calls. 6641 says, if we have another 21-plus point loss, do we consider firing Mike McCoy? I don't know if an interim coach has ever been fired before. I don't see that happening. That just adds a whole lot more chaos to an already chaotic situation.
It's not going to make anything better.
Right. You're not fixing anything at this point. You just got to take your lumps. I don't think McCoy has been great. I don't think he's been notably worse than Brian Callahan, though. I would say he's been a little bit better. The decision on 4th and 3 was bad yesterday, but at this point, you can't fire him. It's only going to make things more difficult for you for the rest of the season. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. The Titans are now 1-7. Do they have any chance to win a game the rest of the year? We'll talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We were going through in the last segment about how the NFL feels more widespread this year. It's not as close together where any team can beat any team on any given Sunday. Teams are just getting blown out. And the Titans are the prime example of that, with the worst point differential in the NFL this season at minus 120 through the first 8 games. And I think it's time to start asking the question of, will this team win a game the rest of the year? The only ones that I can point to would be the Browns and the Saints. Like, those are the two that I look like and say, all right, well, those teams are really bad as well. But this team is on pace for historically bad levels of incompetency. I was looking through and saw minus 120. I was like, all right, so that's, you're losing games by 15 points a game. What is the worst point differential in a season in NFL history? And that would be the 0-14 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1976. At minus 287. The Titans are on track for a negative 255 point differential, which, you know, being on track for that doesn't mean they'll end up anywhere close to that, but we'll see. 255 would be the sixth worst mark in NFL history, ahead of teams like the 2008 Lions, who were 0-16 that year. They only had a negative 249 point differential. So I'm not saying that's where they're going to end up, but it's hard to look at this team as anything other than uncompetitive right now. Like, there's a difference between being a bad team and being an uncompetitive team. And that is the realm that they have fallen into. A minus 120 point differential through 8 weeks is just horrendous. And I don't think they'll end up at minus 255. That would mean they just continue to get blown out by 15 plus points every single week. But they're going to be I don't know if they win more than one game the rest of the year, Parker. Like, we talked at the beginning of the year saying we thought this was a 5, 6, maybe even 7 win team. And I just struggle to see this team going out there and putting 60 minutes together more than once the rest of the season. I think they'll luck into another win, because it happens in the NFL at times, especially when you're playing other bad teams. But 2-15 might be the ceiling at this point, which is crazy to say.
Without a win in divisional play, I'm looking at that 12-7 matchup at Cleveland, and then you're at home 12-28 versus the Saints. But even that Cleveland game is on the road. And they've at least won a couple of games this year. I think the Saints is probably your best bet, but I'm not even confident on that.
Yeah, Saints at home is the one that you could point to. They've got Spencer Rattler starting at quarterback. Maybe they make a move and you see Tyler Shuck at the end of the year. Like, I don't know.
Well, but he came in the game yesterday for him.
Right, he did. I did see that. So, yeah, like, you don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for them, but it's probably not going to be anybody good. I think this team is 2-15. Maybe you get to 3-14, but I wouldn't pick it to happen. This team is going to be looking at draft positioning at the end of the year again. And I think you're going to be in that battle with the Jets and the Saints. That Saints game might be a huge one at the end of the year. Do you think they have a chance to go in there and win the Tank Bowl and maybe knock themselves out of a possible top pick? If you look at Tankathon right now, the Titans, their strength of schedule is actually tougher than the Jets and the Saints right now, so they would pick third, but a long way to go. That loss for the Jane, the win for the Jets over the Bengals yesterday was massive if the Titans want to end up with the number one pick again.
It's just getting to the point where it's just, if it wasn't our job to watch the Titans and talk about it the next day, would we really do it? Honestly.
Yeah, I was talking with some people on the Vandy women's basketball staff yesterday, and one was a Bengals fan, one was a 49ers fan, and we were joking about how all three of our teams lost today. And I said, yeah, but my reward is I get to go talk about it for 3 hours on the radio tomorrow. So lucky me after the Titans lost 38 to 14. It doesn't seem like there's any positive momentum for this team. Like, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, if you're looking for anything to make you happy about this Titans team, just focus on the young guys and hope they continue to develop, because that's going to be the core of next year's team and maybe the 2027 team. But, you know, if you're looking for any kind of momentum towards becoming a winning football team, I don't see any right now. They did nothing yesterday to make me think that they're just on the verge of getting a win. The Chargers are likely going to come in here and win by double digits again. And then you go into the bye week, and I think it could go one of two ways. Either you find a way to regroup and improve the product on the field, or guys just completely check out during the bye week. And I would probably lean, with your head coach already fired, I'd probably lean towards people are just going to check out after the bye week. And we'll see if they end up actually winning a game. 5774 has a great idea. He says, imagine the Saints and Titans just kneeling and punting for 60 minutes. That would be hilarious if that is the end up, if that ended up happening. Obviously it wouldn't. The integrity of the game would be questioned. But yeah, it'd be like the South Park clip of the two teams who just want to go play video games out in the middle of the field. We're gonna lose harder to you. No, there's no way that we beat you. We're horrible. That might be what the Titans and Saints ends up being in December. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 2509 says, Jake, if you're gonna be doing this long term, let's get you a better mic for the work from home days. I do have a mic, and I feel bad that I didn't bring it today. I was hoping to use my equipment for Vandy women's basketball, but I couldn't find an Ethernet hookup. So this is just temporary. It will sound better for my work from the hotel days moving forward, I promise. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Chargers coming in on Sunday, Parker. They had a couple of down weeks, and they lost to the Giants. They almost lost to the Dolphins, who, hey, props to the Dolphins for getting a win yesterday over the Falcons on the road. But it does seem like they got their get right game on Thursday night against the Vikings. They're coming in on extended rest with the mini bye. It's going to be an empty stadium. It'll be one of those things of, if a tree falls in the forest but no one's around, did it actually happen? I don't know how many people are actually going to be watching this game at Nissan Stadium, but the Titans, it is tough to talk about this team as much as we do. Like, they are so bad. And yesterday, I don't understand why they are unwilling to just put the pedal to the metal and go. Like, go for it if you're even remotely thinking about it, right? Like, if you are in 50-50, heck, even like 30-70, where it's probably better to punt it, just go. You got nothing to lose. Maybe you can find a rhythm, and those are the only times that you're going to have a chance to go win games, if you play aggressive and see if you can take a team by surprise. And yesterday, punting from the Indy 42 on 4th and 3. Again, I don't know. It didn't cost you the game. You didn't play well enough to win the game either way. But you were only down 10. You were just outside of field goal range. I do not understand why you wouldn't at least give it a chance there. And I'm sure Mike McCoy will hopefully have a better answer today when he speaks to the media this afternoon, because when he's talked to them yesterday, it was, you know, yeah, looking back, probably want to go for it after the 80-yard touchdown run. But why is that your philosophy at this point? When you're 1-7, you're getting beat up on the road by a divisional opponent. Why is it your philosophy to go conservative and hope your defense can get a stop? I will never understand it. And I hope that maybe that's a wake-up call for this team to start being aggressive moving forward and just saying, you know what? What do we have to lose? We're 1-7. We're not going to the playoffs. Let's go see if we can spoil somebody else's day and get a win. And you're not going to be able to do that by punting on 4th and 3 when you're across midfield.
My mindset is, I mean, this team is so bad. It's just the game is eventually going to get away from you at some point. If you're going to go down swinging. Don't lay down and give them the game. It's really as simple as that.
The game was over at that point, and you could even look back to last week against the Patriots where you give up that touchdown at the end of the half. You got 50 seconds and 3 timeouts to go try and get a couple of points, and instead you stay conservative, and the next time you touch the football, you're down 24-13, and then the fumble obviously puts you completely out of the game. It's back-to-back weeks where you're still in a game, you're not out of it, and you decide to just lay over and die, and Jonathan Taylor takes it 80 yards to the house on the next play. Ryan in Florida says, I'd take a fake punt or every fourth down, go for it. Yeah, how about that? Just fake the punt every single time and see if that works. Johnny Hecker got to 1,000 punts yesterday. Congratulations to Johnny Hecker on a great career. I don't need to see him punt it 1,000 more times before the end of the season. If you're gonna be 1-7 at this point in the year, go try and win some football games. Don't try not to lose them. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break on the other side. Big news last night in college football. Brian Kelly has been relieved of his duties at LSU. Another huge opening in college football. We'll talk about this crazy coaching carousel, where the pieces might end up at the end of it, and what other jobs could end up opening up over the next few months. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you on this Monday. Next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you for another 30 minutes on this Monday. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin coming up after us with the Chase and Big Joe show at the top of the hour. We'll get away from the NFL here. The coaching carousel in college football. Maybe one of the craziest years that we'll ever see. James Franklin fired from Penn State a couple of weeks ago. Last week, it was Billy Napier out at Florida. And now Brian Kelly, after losing to Texas A&M in Death Valley on Saturday night, he has been relieved of his duties. And there are a lot of big, high-profile openings across college football. And the wheels are going to be spinning in all of these athletic departments that have open positions, and in pretty much every other successful athletic program across the entire country. I think there is no more perfect fit than Lane Kiffin to LSU. I think that is a match made in heaven, and it's going to end up, I mean, Landry Kiffin, his daughter is already dating Whit Weeks. It's perfect, and I expect that one to happen. Parker, am I off base saying that I think that is a marriage that is going to be rumored and likely going to happen between Lane Kiffin and LSU?
No, he's number one on the hot board for LSU right now. I just think it's so funny because Florida was feeling so good, even though they didn't play a game last week. They had a bye week. And then all of a sudden, LSU decides to pull the trigger. They fire Brian Kelly, and now they're all just pounding sand because they know what's about to happen. It is going to be a Lane Kiffin bidding war between LSU and Florida. And this coaching carousel is probably about to be the wildest that we have ever seen in college football.
I think Kiffin to LSU is just a perfect fit. His personality meshes with just the culture of LSU. And I think that one is going to happen sooner rather than later would be my guess. I mean, I guess with Ole Miss still in the playoff hunt, they probably won't announce anything, but I would guess Lane's agent is probably having a long conversation with LSU this week, most likely, because that one feels too perfect to not happen. For Florida, am I right that I saw James Franklin is like not much of a factor down there at Florida? Because that one seemed to be the most likely landing spot for him, but I think I saw that Florida isn't all that interested in Franklin.
No, I think they're still gonna at least pursue the idea, but I doubt that it's gonna happen. I don't know if I see James Franklin fitting Florida very well, but my understanding is that Florida is at least going to entertain the idea, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
Nevada Josh on the text line says Brian Kelly to Penn State. Did they just completely rotate all their guys? Kelly goes from LSU to Penn State. James Franklin goes from LSU to Florida. Then Kiffin goes to LSU, and whoever fills in at Ole Miss. I don't know. It's going to be crazy, and the money spent on new coaches may be dwarfed by the money spent on retaining current coaches, right? Like, all of these openings, yes, you're going to see the musical chairs happen of this guy goes here and now this job's open and he wants to go there. It's all the chain reaction and the dominoes are already in motion. But the coaches who don't take new jobs might actually get paid more than the coaches who do. I would guess Clark Lee is going to get a raise from this because the success that Vanderbilt's having is going to draw interest from other big name programs. I would guess Vandy is going to have to extend him and pay him a little bit more. I would think that the two big group of five, the American coaches, and you can honestly put Ryan Silverfield there from Memphis too, along with Alex Golish and John Sumrall. Those guys are going to be popular names throughout the coaching stratosphere. James Franklin is still out there. Lane Kiffin going to be rumored anywhere. It's going to be crazy. And I don't know how it's all going to sort itself out. I've got my Virginia Tech Hokies are still out there looking for a coach. It feels like they're every firing that happens makes that job way less important. And it's now been open for about a month and a half. I don't know where they're going to go, but likely have to wait for all these dominoes to fall. And maybe Shane Beamer, after they lost again to Alabama on Saturday, blew that game. Maybe his seat starts warming up and wants to go back to his alma mater in Virginia Tech. Now another SEC job is open. I don't know what to expect, and I would guess there's going to be more changes coming. Like, this isn't going to be the end of coaches getting fired this year, but having LSU, Florida, and Penn State all open at the same time is going to lead to a whole lot of chaos over the next 6 months.
Oh no, this isn't done happening. But it's the thing with Brian Kelly is you when you take a job like at LSU, where the standard is different than most places. One, you have to win, and that speaks for itself because LSU, if you don't think it's the best job in the country, it's a top five job in the country. And two, when you go to LSU, the L stood for losses this year, but actually the L stands for Louisiana. You have to be able to embrace Louisiana. Ed Orgeron did a fantastic job of that, but because he didn't win, he was fired 20 months after winning a national championship because the seasons were so bad after that. But Brian Kelly, you didn't win and you didn't embrace Louisiana. So this was bound to happen, and it is a mess right now.
Brian Kelly tried to. Me and my family, they tried to embrace Louisiana. Jeremy in Clarksville says Brian Kelly to Florida, just need to tweak the accent. Yeah, I would guess Brian Kelly goes back up north. I think that makes sense. I don't know if Penn State would be like Penn State, they're going to be shooting higher than Brian Kelly. A guy who just got fired probably isn't going to go over well in Happy Valley. But Brian Kelly could go back up north. He was great at Cincinnati. He was good at Notre Dame. Nevada Josh says LSU still owes him $49 million. So I would guess he has that same clause that James Franklin has of,
He does.
he's got to go find another job and take some of that money off the books. But I would guess he goes back up north. I don't know specifically what jobs might open up there, but I think that fits his personality and his culture a little bit more than down in the deep south in Baton Rouge. But I did not expect him to get fired yesterday. Like I knew it was getting bad, and I thought at the end of the year, but firing him after losing to a top five team seems a little hasty. But when it's time, it's time. Excuse me, I did see I saw a report that they were collecting the buyout funds in the suites in the second half of Saturday's game, like going around to all the boosters and saying, "Hey, how much can we count on you for?" Crazy. Crazy how fast things can change in college football, especially. And LSU now open. I am all in on the Lane train going to LSU. I think that makes the most sense. But then you got Ole Miss open, which is an attractive job too. The musical chairs are going to keep on going probably into the spring because, as we mentioned, every single job that gets filled, another one opens up. And that domino effect is going to keep on going. And whoever's at the end of it, likely somewhere in the group of five, is going to get left holding the bag because you'll get to a point where your coach left to go to another job and you've got to go find someone after a lot of guys have already locked into the new year with their current school. So it's going to be a mess. And LSU, Florida, Penn State all open at the same time. I don't know if you can believe everything you hear over the next few months because there's going to be a lot of smoke. But as these jobs get filled in, the landscape of college football is certainly going to shift. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, three straight Sundays where a major college football job has opened up. James Franklin, after losing three straight, let go at Penn State 2 weeks ago. Billy Napier feels like his seat has been hot for about a decade, even though he hasn't been in Florida for that long. And he finally gets let go last weekend. And then the shocker yesterday, Brian Kelly was fired after losing back-to-back games with LSU to Vanderbilt and to Texas A&M. We'll see what happens. Going to be a ton of speculation over the next few weeks. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I am in Memphis today. It is almost college basketball season as the season is a week away today, actually, the opening of the college basketball season. And we got an exhibition tonight, Vandy Women's Basketball in Memphis to take on the Memphis Tigers in the Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic, followed by Arkansas's men's team taking on Memphis's men's team, Coach Calipari making his return to the Bluff City. I'll give you a little preview of what you could hear or see on the game tonight with Vandy Women and the Memphis Tigers coming up after this, and we'll wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, final hour on this Monday, final segment on this Monday, I should say, up here in the hotel in Memphis. I will be back in studio tomorrow, so I apologize if the audio quality hasn't been as good here on the road. We will fix that moving forward when I do have to do these shows on the road, but we'll be back in studio tomorrow. Nick Frazier going to join us for Tony Tuesdays, and we will have plenty to talk about across the NFL. The Titans, the Preds have their final game of their homestand coming up tomorrow, so we'll talk some Smashville as well. Good stuff today from everybody on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 if you have any final thoughts for us before we hand things over to Chase and Big Joe coming up at noon. I did want to give a little preview here of the Vandy women's basketball season. If for those of you who don't know, I do the broadcast on the radio for Vandy women's basketball. This will be my fourth year, and you can listen into all those games on 94.9 The Fan, including tonight, Vandy playing in the Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic against Memphis. That is a 5:15 pregame, 5:30 tip over on 94.9 The Fan. So I implore you to tune in, whether that's with me or on ESPNU on TV. This is a fun team to watch. Shea Ralph in her fifth season, and Michaela Blakes is the one who gets all the headlines. Parker playing Dierks Bentley, coming back in from break there. He was at College Game Day. Michaela was featured on College Game Day as well. The SEC Freshman of the Year and All-American as a freshman. She had two games scoring 53 plus in her freshman year. So excited to see her start her sophomore campaign not officially tonight, but for the first time in the national spotlight, and lots of exciting pieces around her too. Sasha Washington back in the fold after missing last season. You bring in two transfers from SEC teams with Jakalanga Mwenintanda and Aaliyah Del Rosario. Justine Passat, former Tennessee Lady Vol, former five-star recruit in her third season at Vanderbilt, looking to take a step. And then a freshman, Aubrey Galvin, keep an eye on her. If you're a Vandy fan out there, I'm excited to watch her play tonight. Reminds me a little bit of Jason Williams, white chocolate, the way she passes the ball. Just like the ability to see things that other people don't and execute to get the ball in the hands of her teammates. So I'm excited to see them play tonight. Again, 5:15 pregame, 5:30 tip. Parker, just in general here, I cannot believe college basketball season is already here. Like, I understand that March was a long time ago, but football starts, and I always feel like I've got 2 months until the season starts, and then boom, we're here. And crazy that I'll be on the air tonight calling women's basketball for the first time since March.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting time of year. I actually sat down and watched Tennessee play Duke in an exhibition game last night on ESPN2. So right around the corner, it actually starts next weekend officially. So, yeah, an exciting time of year. I think we have the sports equinox today as well.
Yes. Yes, we do. You got all four major sports on at the same time. We got Monday Night Football. We got the World Series. Got hockey, got basketball. It's a great time of the year for sports. It's a busy time of the year for sports, but I am excited to get over there. Games at FedEx Forum tonight, so in an NBA arena, and we'll see if how Vandy can come out of the gates. Again, that game televised on ESPNU. You can listen in with me on 94.9 The Fan from 5:15 pregame, 5:30 tip-off. Quickly, wanted to go to the YouTube chat, which has kind of been on a mind of its own today, just talking amongst themselves, talking about Cliff Kingsbury. And I don't know how I would feel about Cliff Kingsbury. And maybe this is a topic for tomorrow with Nick Frazier about kind of just a vibe check on some of these head coaching candidates for the Titans. Kingsbury is one of those that I don't think it'd be a bad hire, but I think I'd go with other guys with similar qualifications over him. Maybe because of the ties they have. Arthur Smith, obviously ties to the Titans organization, being here through four different coaching staffs. Matt Nagy has the ties with Mike Borgonzi. Maybe that makes me feel more comfortable that they could come in and adapt the vision that this front office wants and that this team needs. But I don't know. I'm not fully on the Cliff Kingsbury train, but I also don't think it'd be a horrible hire if they went out and got him.
It's so hard for me to say that I'm on the Kingsbury train, because to be honest, I'm not. The fact that he was a failed head coach both in college and the NFL scares me desperately. I think you need more of a proven winner for the Titans. I'm sick of the Titans taking chances on people. And there are some that are just great coordinators. I think Josh McDaniel is the perfect example of that. Great coordinator, failed head coach. I believe the same thing about Kingsbury.
Yeah, and I could see that. Joe on the YouTube chat says, Cliff has play calling experience plus head coaching experience and has recently developed a young quarterback, checks every box. I could see it. And I think it's just the, like you're saying, Parker, he has failed as a head coach both times. And the YouTube chat is having the conversation of, was it more about Cliff Kingsbury or was it more that Kyler Murray was never going to be an elite quarterback? I don't know. But I would put him further down on the list. I also don't think it would be a disaster of a hire. I think it would be fine. I think that's something we'll talk about with Nick Frazier tomorrow. I'll make sure to write that down. But you know, Brian Callahan's been gone for 2 weeks now. 2 weeks ago today, he was fired. And all these names get thrown out there. Let's try and like shuffle and organize how we feel about these different candidates, because there's so many names that are getting thrown out, so many more that will be thrown out throughout the rest of the season before the Titans actually are able to start interviewing some guys in December and into January. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones if you got any final thoughts. It's been a fun show today, Parker. I hope everything went well on your end with me out here. I promise I will have a better mic next time we do one of these. I don't think I don't think there's another one for at least a couple of weeks. So, but hopefully everything sounded good on your end, Parker.
Not a single issue today. Not a
Great. We
single
love
issue
that.
today.
We love that. It's been a fun show. Appreciate everybody interacting today, whether that's in the YouTube chat or on our phone lines. Plenty more to react to with the Titans tomorrow. And of course, around the college football world, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, both right in the thick of the college football playoff race with just about a month to go in the regular season. Again, tune in tonight, 94.9 The Fan. I'll be on the air calling a women's basketball exhibition for Vanderbilt taking on Memphis. Again, 94.9 The Fan, 5:15 pregame. That'll do it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.